thankful that you have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak. That is our purpose, to let God speak through His Word to the questions that you may have on your mind. So please don't hesitate to get your questions in today. The lines are both available, 308-9564, that is the voice lines. And so you can call those right now, and we'll be glad to take your question. You can go live over the air, or you can actually have it written down as this first question just came in and brought into us, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Second way is you can text in your question through your cell phone at 725-9283. And you can do that right now as we go to the Bible for the questions that pertain to life and godliness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you have friends or relatives that live in other parts of the world and you would like them to benefit from this program, you can have them go to the internet and tune in through BibleAlone.com. They can go to that website, www.BibleAlone.com, and they can hit the live stream button and join us as we anywhere they are in the world. Or if they have a smartphone, they can download an app called TuneIn Radio and then find the radio station, which is 106.3 in Charleston, WJNI, and they click on that, and they too will be live anywhere in the world. So if you have friends or relatives anywhere in the world, it's my understanding that we have a listener even in India, and so they can join us right now through one of those two means, through our website, BibleAlone.com, or the TuneIn Radio app. And thus we will be able to study together anywhere in the world right now, and it is all free of charge. Now, how can you beat that? So go ahead and join us right now. Call in your question at 308-308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We got more information coming up, but let's go ahead and get to our first question, and then we will continue on. Steve?
Yes, this question comes into us from Foster, and Foster, we appreciate so much you taking the time today to listen to this program. We are especially appreciative of your question, since it particularly shows some appreciation and awareness of different things and words that are used in the scriptures. And so we're going to get to Foster's question here. It says, what's the difference between the love feast and communion? Well, that's a good question. It's interesting because we have some very clear teaching on communion in the scriptures. We have Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29, where Jesus initially commissions the apostles to take bread and fruit of the vine in his kingdom when that begins. And so the apostles did that. And Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says that they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. We also know in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that the church at Corinth was rebuked by Paul because they weren't taking it correctly. And so Paul reminds them of what Jesus said in Matthew's account, as well as some other gospels, about what communion is supposed to be. And then there is this reference to the love feast in the book of Jude. So if you will turn to the book of Jude, and we'll look at that verse together and see what that verse says and see if there's any connection with communion, as Foster here is wondering about as well. So go to the book of Jude. We're going to look in verse 12. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Jude is similar to some references in 2 Peter, and it talks about that things that were upsetting the early church, those who had, in verse 11, gone the way of Cain, those who rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. All those are Old Testament references of people who put themselves at odds with God's will. Then verse 12, as it talks about people like these people in the Old Testament, these false teachers, goes on to say, these are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, and it goes on to describe them in similar terms. So there's this term love feast. Now, I don't know why people connect this with communion. It just simply says love feast, and they're feasting with you. And the word feast is never used to describe communion. And you can look in Matthew 26, 26 through 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 and following, Acts 20, verse 7, and those references aren't talking about feasting. So it is entirely possible that this is something where the Christians got together and just ate food together. We know from Acts chapter 2, for instance, that that's what the early church did as well. They met from house to house, breaking bread and eating their meat with singleness of heart. That's Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, I believe it is. And so there's no connection here between the love feast and communion. So we just kind of making that up because there's no evidence that connects them. So, Foster, we really appreciate your question. Appreciate you thinking that through. And I hope the answer will be helpful to you. So if you've got a question like Foster, maybe you've got similar or something entirely different, maybe something that's going on in your life that you need the answer to, you want to know, what does the Bible say? Well, give us a call here at the station, 308-9564, or you can text us if you'd rather. That number is 725-9283, and we will look at your question. We will search the scriptures to see whether or not what the truth is. And so we will, as the Bible, as our program is called, Let the Bible Speak. So please join us here today.
We are so thankful that you have a desire to know what God's Word says. Thank you so much. You are what drives this program. You set the topic. You set the theme. And I don't think we've ever had that question asked before. I believe that's the very first time. And so we really appreciate those kind of questions as well, because it challenges us. Sometimes we just have to answer. We do not know what that full meaning is, and leave it at that, because if we start giving conjecture, coming up with things that would be of our origin, well, then we're no longer letting the Bible speak. And so if we cannot explain it with book, chapter, and verse, we just have to say sometime we do not know, or the Bible does not address those things. So now is your chance. If you would like to ask a question that has to do with life or godliness in God's Word, please call right now, 308-9564. Ask your question. It can be written down and brought in to us, or you can go live over the air. Ladies and gentlemen, if you choose to go live over the air, all we ask is that if you give us your name so we can address you with respect and by name, and be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a confusing echo or delay causing confusion. And so we do not want any kind of confusion from this program. Actually, we want clarity. We want the peace of God that He alone can give as we go to Thus Says the Lord. You set the theme, you set the topic, but God gives the answers. And thus we will all be better off on the day of judgment when we all face Him face to face, Him at that time being our judge. So get ready. Let us go to the Bible for all these answers. The number then for the voice line is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. You can call in your question right now. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. We're about to go to break. We want you to know this is our first break, and as we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions, and thus you're able to get your question on next. So the next one to call in your question will be the next one on the air, so please don't hesitate to call in right now, 308-9564. We're about to tell you about a correspondence course study where you can study God's Word. If you like this program, you will get 10 times more benefit from studying the Bible yourself. We would be glad to give you a tool to help you to get into that study, and we'll send it to you absolutely free. One of the great benefits of this, Steve, is when they get this, they can study it, you know, in the middle of the night. A lot of times people are the best at night or early in the morning. But whatever you're best at, then you can take this and study it when you can concentrate on it and get the most out of it. Here's more information on that. While we are at break, you can continue with your questions. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are glad that you have continued with us, and maybe you just got in and turned the radio on, and we are so glad, so grateful, so thankful for your participation in the program today. Yes, we said your participation. You are listening, and so in that way you're participating. We also hope that you participate by calling in your question. If you desire to do so, that number is 308-9564, or you may decide to text it in, and that number is 725-9283. The other way that you can participate is by, as you, maybe you don't have a question, maybe not one occurring to you, but you are listening to other people's questions being answered. And so another way you can participate is having a pencil ready and piece of paper and open Bible and kind of follow along with us as we go to the scriptures. And as we have, you have just heard, this Bible correspondence course that we offer, it is free and it is designed to aid you, to help you, to encourage you, to get you into the scriptures, to kind of get you into it so it can get into you. And the blessings that will come to you will be eternal, especially as you take that word into your heart and let it change you, let it mold you, let it shape you as the potter does the clay. And God, of course, is that potter. So we just put ourselves in a position to let God change our lives. As Romans 12, 2 says, transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the Word of God can do that. And so that number is 553-5157. If you'd like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course and get that sent out to you this week, and you can begin a wonderful journey in understanding and discerning for your own what God's Word truly says. So give us a call here at the station. We've already had a couple of questions, at least one question so far, and we will have more, Lord willing, coming in. So this is a great, wonderful time of Bible study that we have with you in the Tri-County area, and so we appreciate so much your keeping us into the Word and studying and seeing what the Word says. So give us a call, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283.
And now's your opportunity to get your question in, so don't miss out on getting your question on the broadcast today to where that we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the voice line is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Please don't hesitate. Go ahead and call right now. Both lines are available. Many of you that are longtime listeners know that the lines tend to fill up and the questions pile up toward the end of the broadcast. So now is the time to get in before the rush toward the end of the broadcast. Let me ask you a question and we'll just make it back at you. Did you know that in God's Word there is no character called the Apostle Paul? I'll let you think about that just for a second. There is no one in the Bible called the Apostle Paul. Now, as you're about to call and scream and fuss us out, please let me point out to you what the Bible does say. The verses that refer to Paul, there is someone called Paul in the Bible, and he is the one that God used to write Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all the way to Philemon, and even possibly Hebrews. He is referred to as Paul, called to be an apostle. The word apostle is never used as a title. Matter of fact, none of the apostles were ever referred to as the apostle Peter, the apostle Paul, the apostle John. No, they were always, that was their description, but it was not their title. And you might wonder about that. Well, am I making a big to-do about nothing? Well, when you look at Matthew 23, there was a whole group of people that Jesus was talking to during that time, and he was letting them have it. And it was all because that they had allowed themselves or maybe been instrumental in elevating themselves to become something when actually God is the one that should be everything. He calls them words or describes them as fools, blind, whited sepulchre, blind guides, hypocrites. In the middle of all of this discussion, he says in verse 7, he says, they love, or 6, they love the best place in the feasts, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplace, to be called by men, rabbi, rabbi. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. And so there was only one individual that should be so elevated as to be able to receive a title, and that would be, yeah, you've got it, Jesus Christ. And when he said in Matthew 28, 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth, if he's got it all, how much does man have today? And before you again conclude that maybe I'm making a lot to do about nothing, how many of you know why Moses was punished and not himself allowed to go into the promised land? It was because he failed to honor God and sanctify the children, sanctify God in the eyes of the children of Israel, both he and Aaron, when they said, must we fetch water out of this rock? And so that was bad enough to punish them that severely. And one more little bit of information that you might not have thought about is in Acts chapter 12. Here was a heathen king, Herod, who was put to death by worms of all things because he failed to give honor and glory to God who was due it. Wow. So now what about all of what's going on in churches today across the land, church A, B, C, D, E, F, G? You look at the sign out front. Is there somebody's name there with a title? Uh-oh. Yep. So if that is the case and man is elevating themselves, they're doing something even the apostles would not dare do. You have a comment on that? Please give us a call. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
Well, I did some checking on that, Ricky, so I put in Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And all I got was, like he opens that lot in his letters, you know, mm-hmm. Apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, Apostle, a bondservant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle, called to be an apostle, that's 1 Corinthians 1, of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Apostle, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised from the dead. That's Galatians. Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the way, God, on and on it goes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And so he never refers to himself using the word apostle as a title, nor does Philip, the evangelist, refer to himself as the evangelist Philip. There are no titles in the kingdom of God except to one individual who has all the glory and all the honor, and he is due it, and that is Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have looked around and you've seen the absurdity of all of these different levels of authority and rank in the church that you may be familiar with, there may be something just not right about that. How do we know that? Well, those verses again were the very first verse in just about every book in the New Testament. And then also Matthew 23, the whole chapter is dealing with these self-righteous, authoritative, rank-seeking individuals, in even in the Jewish community, and he lets them have it in clear terms, and he says, don't you behave that way. You're all brethren. So we're all equal in the kingdom of God.
Another passage, too, that is, I think, very interesting. It's not only the fact that there would be a title, but all that comes with that. There is this assumption of authority. There is this coming before God. So Jesus in Matthew's account, Matthew 20:25, said, you know that their rulers, the rulers of the Gentiles, lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for ransom for many. Yeah. So if we won't be like Jesus.
Yeah, and that's one of the that's probably one of the most remarkable characteristics about Jesus was his emptying himself and becoming selfless. If anybody has got something to brag on, it is Jesus Christ, because he lowered himself more than any individual could ever lower themselves, just to demonstrate his love to us. And so are we impressed with him? Well, we should be. And Jesus says, he that lowers himself will be ruler over all. And Jesus is the one that lowered himself more than we can ever imagine. And now he is of all authority. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. So just wanted to throw that out at you. Maybe you have a comment about this. It's about the top of the hour, and we want you to know that we are glad and happy to be able to share with you the riches in God's Word. If you are interested in Bible study, then please don't hesitate to go ahead and call right now for the Bible Correspondence Course. That number, if you're interested in getting this Bible study material to you, it is free of charge. You can call 553-5157. That's the number to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. And we'll be glad to get it in the mail to you absolutely free. And the good thing is you can study this at any time that you want to, when you can concentrate, and you will get a lot more out of the study of that course than you would even listening to us on the radio this way. Because you're going to the source, God's Word. And by the way, you may be able to discover vital truths that you may have never seen before. We've studied with folks, we've met many of you, and many of you have said, you know, I've never seen that before, and I've read and studied the Bible all my life. And that's the first time I have ever seen that. Isn't that interesting how that works?
Yep.
There's a lot of folks out there that we have studied with, and they've come out and said that, and some of them have said, I've read the Bible through every year for years, and I've never seen that before. Well, the God of this world is really good. That's the devil. He's really good at what he's doing, because he's been doing it for thousands of years, and that is he's very capable of putting blinders on us so that we do not see. And so please, let's get into and find the answers we need to be able to meet our God one day. So go ahead and call 553-5157. Here's more information on that. And while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line, if you'd rather text with your cell phone, it is 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are live now again. We want you to know that we are thankful, those of you that are enrolling in the course. We are thrilled to be able to send it to you. And as we said, it's absolutely free. So just put away your checkbook. Do not even think about sending us any money. We are happy to send you the treasure that will never be taken away from you. Where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. That's the treasure we are offering you. That which you will get from God himself, from his word. And so thus you're able to be able to study from God's word, your own Bible, and be able to find the answers that will change your life, that will make you into the beautiful creature that God wants you to be. And by the way, today, most churches are restricted from telling you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's always puzzled me, Steve, is we can go to a court of law And we will be, as they put it, sworn in to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And they've got your hand on the Bible when they're swearing you in with that, those of you that would say that or affirm that, and they expect you to abide by that. However, when it comes down to churches across the land, they tell you a little bit of truth here, a little bit of truth here, and a whole lot of truth here, but they always, for some reason, leave out some very vital points. That is just totally amazing to me, how that the world would recognize the need to have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, but the religious world, well, they seem to be able to get away with it.
You know, it's interesting. The thing that I'm always surprised about is people, you know, they got a Bible, they maybe underline the Bible, but then you start looking at the Bible and they say, well, I didn't know that was in there. I didn't understand that principle. And so, you know, Jesus, when he was on the earth, he came in conflict with the Pharisees and the scribes because they had the traditions of their fathers. And he contrasted that with the commands of God. So he asked them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because, or for the sake of, your tradition. So here's an interesting question that I think we all ought to think about. How do I know the difference between a tradition of the elders and a commandment of God?
Yeah.
Well, that's why that Bible correspondence course can be a great help to you, because we're not going to be giving you the traditions of the elders. We'll be giving you the commandments of God. And so that's what we try to do in this radio program. So if you call up and ask a question about, you know, what's up with this idea of tithing and giving all our money to a church, and what do we do when the preacher says, well, don't worry about what you read in the Bible, you just come to me and I'll give you the answer. Where does that come from? Does that come from the scriptures, or does that come from tradition? So this Bible correspondence can be really helpful to enable you to identify and distinguish between the two different things. And the elders were not doing that. The Pharisees, rather, were not doing that. And Jesus had to remind them. So that's an important thing for us to keep in mind.
Yeah, and the Bible speaks of this working of Satan in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And described in these words, it says, the coming of the lawless one in accord to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That principle has been true throughout the whole Bible. And that is, there are those who want to believe the lie, to go after the here and the now, the things that they love, the kind of righteousness that they want, and they, because they do not seek after truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that is so dangerous. So there's only one way for us to find out whether this is from God or from man, and that is we've got to see it for ourselves in God's Word. Ladies and gentlemen, you have now an opportunity to ask those questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. The voice line is available right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us with the text phone, with the cell phone, at 725-9283. So the questions are yours. The theme is yours, but the answers will come from God.
And another consequence of not being able to distinguish between the commandments of men or the traditions of men and the commandments of God is also seen in Matthew chapter 15, when Jesus says, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. I want you to think about this for a second. How many times have you been to worship? How many times have you done something in response to God? Has it been because of His word, His teaching, or man's. Well, if it's been a man's, it's been in vain. It's been useless. You wasted your time. So, great motivation for us to find out what the Word of God says. So, we have a live caller.
Yeah, I believe the name is Kim that would like to ask a question live over the air. Kim, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, how can we help you?
Okay, my question is coming from 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2, and Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. My question, and I'll start with 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2.
Okay.
And I did, I'm trying to find out, it says in, you know, in 2 Samuel, it says, then it happened one evening that David aroused from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Now, my question is, did King David commit adultery?
Yes.
He looked upon this woman. Now, let's not even talk about he slept with the woman and all that. Let's kind of leave that out there. We know he did that. That was adultery. But my question is, did he commit adultery when he looked upon this woman from his roof? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 27-28, and Jesus is talking with, I think he's the disciples, and he says, you have heard that it was said that to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. In verse 28, it says, But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. My question is, Jesus said that in the New Testament, and he said that was adultery when you looked upon a woman. Is the Old Testament adultery the same as the New Testament adultery in that aspect? Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, I do. And you'll find your answer in James chapter 1. To answer your second question, yes, adultery is adultery. When you break the covenant with your wife, then that is adultery. Yeah. Now, in the Old Testament, they had multiple wives. And that is something that God winked at, never intended for that to be. Matthew 19 makes it very clear that a man should leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That was always God's intent for marriage. And so that was something that was done in that God was not approval of in the Old Testament. Now, James chapter 1 answers your question about as far as was it just by the look and lusting. It says in verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when I'm tempted by God, but God cannot be tempted by evil, neither does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. Now, that's what was going on the rooftop. He could see that. He could look across the valley, see on the rooftops across the way, and thus he was able to see her bathing up there. And then it says, then when desire has conceived, that is, he figured out a way to make that happen, well, mentally, or as you read just now, in his heart, he had already done that. Well, it says that gives birth to sin. The sin actually was when he acted on that. And that's when the sin was committed. And then it goes on to say, when it is full grown, brings forth death. In other words, unrepented of, then it will bring death. Well, luckily, he repented of that. And we can see that demonstrated in Psalm 51, 32, 38, and I believe it's Psalm 6. And so you look and you see his heart breaking over what he had done. The actual sin is when he had her summoned and he had relations with her. Well, that and killing the husband and betraying Israel and several other sins.
Of course.
Does that answer your question?
So in other words, let's just say if King David didn't go through with what he did, but he looked at that woman, then he committed adultery.
No, that would not have been adultery. It might have been conceived in his heart, But he was had not been guilty of physical adultery at all, just by conceiving it in
heart. So I know in the Old Testament they lived in law.
Now, wait a minute. Let me before I lead anybody astray that's listening in the radio audience. Now, that is uncleanness. That there's a New Testament word that talks about that, which would be unclean thoughts. Many times by pornography that is occurred, or many other ways, that is lasciviousness, which is also condemned as a sin. But no, it is not adultery.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks for the answer.
All right. Well, thank you, Ken. We sure do appreciate your question, and that's an awesome question. Thank you. Again, we got some very unique questions today. We sure do appreciate everyone that is participating. And the lines are now available. If you have a question, you can continue the discussion with the question and subject matter of your heart. And we'll be glad to go to the Bible for those answers as we look to the Bible and find what the Bible says. Steve, you have time for the next question?
Just a comment on that question.
Okay.
To distinguish the action versus the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus in Matthew 15 says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Those that defile a man," he said. But if you think about, is adultery committed just by the thought? Well, is murder committed just by the thought? In that same passage in Matthew, Jesus says, if you're angry with your brother without cause.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is really emphasizing the heart, and that's a battleground. Because all these actions will come out of there. So, you know, strike the battle in your heart.
Yes, yes. There's sin being committed, but it's just not that particular sin of adultery. But it is certainly, if it's conceived in the heart, as James chapter 1 is talking about, then it is a short, short distance to actually committing that sin.
Okay.
We want to thank everyone for your question, and thank you, Kim, for calling in and joining us in today's broadcast and asking the question and even having the courage to go live over the air. Again, if you want to ask a question, you can call 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and you can go live over the air like Kim, or you can have your question written down and brought into us. Either way, the question is yours, the theme, the topic is yours, but God is the one that gives the answer. We'll go to the Bible for the answer. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283, and we'll get it right here in the studio, and we'll be glad to go to the Bible for the answer. Wherever you're at in the world, you can text us. By the way, all of our phone numbers are area code 843. If you're outside this local calling area here in the United States, it's area code 843, and so make certain that you're aware of that. Now, to tell you again about this Bible correspondence course, you have nothing to lose but possibly fiery indignation of God. Yes, that's right, because in the end, there's only going to be two locations that we will spend eternity. Everyone listening to me right now, eternally, we're going to be in one location or the other. There is no middle ground, regardless of what some churches say. We're either going to be in torment, in fire, or we're going to be in paradise, Abraham's bosom of heaven, a lot of ways it's described, and the choice is yours. And ladies and gentlemen, now's the time to make the choice. We cannot make the choice after we leave this body behind. So don't you want to know how to make that choice? I certainly did, and I hope you do too. And ladies and gentlemen, you may not be hearing the whole answer in church, because there are many, many different churches telling you different things on how to prepare for that day. So all we offer, notice we don't tell you about our church or tell you about our group, or we're trying to get you into the book, the Bible, God's Word, because that's the only way that the truth will set us free. So why not get into the book and find the answers for yourself? Go ahead and call 553-5157. That's how to get the course in the mail to you. And when you get it, Don't let it collect dust or go into the file 13. Open it up, study it, look into your word, and find the answers of how to show ourselves approved unto God. Go ahead and call 553-5157, and it will be in the mail this week. Now, if you've already got our course, you've already studied, and you're one of our students, there's 4,000 of you out there, then go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now. And during the break, we apologize. There were three calls that came in to the voice line at the same time, and thus we could not get to all of you. Both lines are available right now. If you want to return and hit redial, you'll be able to get through to ask your question, have it written down and brought into us, or go live over the air. So now's your chance. The first one in, we'll be able to get the call picked up for you, and you'll be able to get your question on today's broadcast. 308-9564, that is the voice line. And so you can get through now without hesitation. 308-9564. Or if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283, and we will go to the Bible for the answer on your heart. And thus, hopefully, God's answer will be put on your heart as we all are trying to make certain that occurs. Steve, you have the next question?
Yes. This is a text question, and the last three digits, 199, has to do with divorce and remarriage. It asks, can you get a divorce if your spouse committed adultery and states that they do not want to be married? Who should initiate the divorce? And then there's a follow-up to that. According to the scriptures in Matthew, it seems that if you divorce and remarry, you are committing adultery, even if your spouse committed adultery. Can you expound on this? Well, we'd be happy to. Go to Matthew chapter 19, not only for the one who texted this in, but others who would find this an important question. Maybe it is pertaining to your situation or something similar or whatever. Let's go to that passage and read what Jesus says. Now, the Pharisees had been asking Jesus about marriage and divorce and, you know, could you divorce for any reason? And Jesus' first response to that is that in verse 4 of Matthew 19, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So, in Genesis 2, where this is quoted from, God's intent was for man to join himself to his wife, and that they not be separated because God had joined them together. Then there's a follow-up question in verse 7. They said, well, then, if that's the case, why did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And Jesus' answer in verse 8 is because of the hardness of your heart. He permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Now, so that kind of reinforces what Jesus said earlier. Now he says this in verse 9, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So that second question was, the first question, can you divorce your mate if they committed adultery? And the answer to that is yes. Jesus says that you can divorce and remarry if there has been sexual immorality. The second question was, who should initiate the divorce? Well, the person with whom that sin of adultery was against. Notice Jesus says that you are divorcing. Whoever divorces his wife, you are the one who is initiating that. And then the latter question is, according to the scriptures in Matthew, it seems that if you divorce and remarry, you are committing adultery, even if your spouse committed adultery. Well, again, you kind of have to read Matthew chapter 19, verse 9 carefully, because Jesus puts the exception in there. He says, except for sexual immorality. So if you were reading the verse without the words except for sexual immorality, it reads like this, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. That's pretty plain and simple. And then it says, whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. But you put the exception in, and that gives one opportunity or one situation that changes that. And so Jesus is saying, whoever divorces his wife, except in the case of sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. So I do not commit adultery if I put away my wife who has committed adultery, and I do not commit adultery if I marry someone else, because God gave me the right to put that person away due to and because of their sexual immorality. So I hope that is helpful. If you need clarification on that, if that wasn't helpful, then please call us back or text us back, and we will look at that again, and if there is some extenuating circumstances or other situations we need to look at, we'd be glad to do that. So we appreciate your question. If you've got one, give us a call, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Ricky?
Yes, now's your chance to get in. Both lines are available. We lost some of you a little while ago. We only had one of you get through. Go ahead and call. The voice lines, they are available, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have a caller calling in this question. It says, are musical instruments allowed in the New Testament doctrine of Christ? That's a very good question. Because when you look at the Old Testament, there are many instruments that are used mainly to announce the sacrifices that were used in the temple when their sins were forgiven, and announcements, and many other times they were used. They were not used in the synagogues, it seems, but still that was done in the temple, and that was part of their worship and their behavior in the Old Testament. Now, when you That's 39 books in the Old Testament that was seemingly referred to, alluded to in some way. In the New Testament, 27 books, zip, nada, not anywhere in there. Matter of fact, God, the only instrument that God commands us to use in worship to God is the fruit of our lips. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So there he specifies the instrument is supposed to be our lips giving praise to his name. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 specifies what those lips are supposed to be doing. It says speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We're to be teaching one another with those, Colossians 3:16 adds. And so there we can see it is supposed to be singing from our heart with our lips, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And we're supposed to be teaching and admonishing one another and stirring one another up with those words, as Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25 say. So again, those verses are Hebrews 13:15, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, and Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Thank you so much for your question. Again, this is a big stark contrast between the Old Testament and New Testament, and all of that seemingly was nailed to the cross when Jesus died on the cross. Many other things were also eliminated from the New Testament way, the covenant that God or Christ has set up for us to follow in the New Testament. And so it's time for our next break. And ladies and gentlemen, we want you to know that we are happy to share with you more study of God's Word. So don't miss out in getting your question in today. The number is 308-9564, 308-9564. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283. Don't miss out on getting the course to you. Here's more information on that. And please know that there's only one way to get the whole truth and for it to be by faith, And that is, we've got to see it for ourselves. So let's get into the Word and find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. We'll be right back. We are about live now. We want you to know we are thankful to you for your interest. Actually, thankful to God that you have interest in knowing what God says in His Word. Don't hesitate to get your question in right now. The voice line is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. As we said at the beginning of the broadcast, the questions tend to pile up, and that's what's happening. So please understand we're going to be very concise and quick at answering these questions. So have pencil and paper ready to write down the references so you can study these things for yourself. And get the questions, and may they continue to come in, and we will try our best to answer all of them on today's broadcast. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. Steve?
We have a question about Revelation 12, about the devil that was cast out of heaven and a third of the stars and things that were taken out. And the reference to, you know, question was, are these people, and did they do so of their own volition, or what was the situation there? Well, the first thing we need to appreciate about this is the great red dragon, representative, of course, of evil and Satan. A third of the stars of heaven, he was thrown down to the earth. That's Revelation 12, verse 4. And then if you go down to verse 7, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon and the angels waged war. And verse 8 says they were not found strong enough, and they were cast down to the earth. And the reference it again is that there was no longer found a place in heaven for them. Verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So it is the angels who were cast out of heaven, and so he came to deceive the world. Now, we had earlier talked about a concept of deception, how Satan deceives the world. There's several passages in the Bible that talk about that. The one that we looked at, I think Ricky had talked about it, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And so the questioner asked about, were these people doing it voluntarily, or were they just, you know, in association with the Satan, or what? And again, the angels were cast out, not people. But when Satan was cast to the earth, he deceived people. And so the way to prevent that deception, notice again in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul addresses that. And that's, I think, so fascinating that he tells us how to avoid being deceived. And so in verse 10, it says that Satan, the working, verse 9 talks about the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. So get that deception, deceiving. Because, and here's the real protector against deception, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So if you want to be avoiding the deception of Satan, if you want protection against the deception of Satan, it's real easy, in a sense. Love the truth. That is, don't be content with anything that anybody tells you. No appeal to your feelings. No appeal to some kind of sensational passage in the Scripture. But ask for the book and the chapter and the verse where the Bible says that. And then you go and study those verses, read those verses in context, and to see, as those people, Maria did, whether or not those things were so. So I hope that a little analysis of Revelation 12 will be helpful, especially overcoming the deception of Satan. Ricky?
Yes, I'm sorry. We almost skipped a text question that came in earlier. We apologize it's taken us so long to get to your question. But their question is, what were the different Adams in the Bible? Well, there's a couple of places I would like to go. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we will see there that there's a mention of two Adams. Now, everyone knows that there was the Adam that was in the garden with Eve, the husband of Eve, the first man to live of all mankind, who's the father of us all. and Eve was the mother of us all. And that is the terminology that is used there in Genesis. And so it's not a matter of another creation or another group of people or aliens coming, none of that. They are the parents of us all. Well, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a living, a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. That would be you and I. And as the heavenly, so are those who are heavenly. So we have to try and become part of the second Adam as we try to walk in his light. As we have been born in the image of the man of dust, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly man, the heavenly Adam. And so that's the idea there in this context. And it goes on to talk about, we should understand it is not about the here and now, the flesh and blood, that will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the chapter ends with this exhortation, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We've got to understand, we're going to meet God one day, and we've got to get over this flesh and blood and not be driven by it, actually overcome it. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so that's how we become part of the second Adam. So hopefully that is clear. And if you're pretty clear on that, then you may also want to study Romans chapter 5. And therefore, it gives an allusion of these two Adams again in Romans chapter 5. So hopefully we appreciate that. And I believe that's the first time that question has been asked before, too. And thank you so much for your question. That is from the last three digits of 284. And we sure appreciate your desire to know what God's Word says. Thank you very much. Again, the number, if you want to call in your question, we are slowly catching up, 308-9564. That's the voice line. You can call in your question right now. The lines are available. So hurry, get your question in. Or if you'd rather just text, you can text us at 725-9283.
Yes, we have a question here from Bobby J. I believe that's what the name is. And the question is, be careful how you entertain strangers as some entertain angels unaware. What does unaware mean, or what does it imply? Well, that passage is question comes from a passage in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, where the writer says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Well, unaware simply means they weren't aware of it, that it was some, the angels came, but they had no clue that it was an angel. For instance, if you go to Genesis chapter 18, Abraham was visited by some angels, as well as Lot in Genesis chapter 19, and they treated them just like ordinary people. Now, if you look at other passages, every other reference to an angel seeing somebody, they were always fearful because they saw it manifested in a way that was unusual, that was scary, that was frightful. Bright light usually was associated with those kinds of things. And so it startled people because they just weren't used to seeing something like that. But in Genesis 18 and Genesis 19, there's no such reference to that at all. And so they were hospitable. Abraham prepared a meal. Lot welcomed him into his home. And so they entertained these angels, but they did not be aware of them. So the point of the passage in Hebrews is that show hospitality. You never know that it may be that an angel will be entertained by you. And so unawares, you just didn't know it was an angel. So Someone said, "Have you ever seen an angel?" I don't know.
Yeah,
if I'd seen it, I wouldn't have been aware of it. So
sometimes I think my wife is one. That's for sure. She is certainly a servant.
Yeah,
anyway, we got a few more minutes, so please go ahead and call in your question right now. 308-9564. 308-9564. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283. And so you can get in your question right now. So go ahead and call. Again, it's area code 843-308-9564 to get your question in. Now, please know that we are offering a free Bible correspondence course. If you are at all interested in learning more about what God's Word says, if you are seeking, God says you will find. If you are knocking, God says it'll be open to you. If you are asking, then you're going to get answers. But let the answers come from God, from His Word. What better way to find the vital answers that will enable us to show ourselves approved unto God than to get into His Word and find those answers that will be toward the salvation of our souls eternally in heaven? Are you ready to have those answers? Well, why not go ahead and call 553-5157 and get that course in the mail to you this week. And by the way, it is free. We will never ask for any kind of donation. Matter of fact, please just put away your checkbook, put away your wallet. Do not send us your money. Do not send us your financial contribution. Rather, let us give you treasure that will never be stolen away from you. If you are interested in this, please go ahead and call 553-5157, and we'll get that course in the mail to you right away, and you'll be able to begin your journey for an eternity to serve an eternal God, and you don't want to risk not being right in His eyes. Are you ready for that? Then go ahead and get this course to you in the mail to you, 553-5157, and you will discover things in God's Word that you may have never heard before. One more time, that number is 553-5157, and we will get that to you in the mail this week. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Now, if you have a question and you want to continue this discussion on the topic of your choice, go ahead and call 308-9564. This is a live broadcast. You are the guest. You control the topic and the theme. God gives the answers. We'll go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283, and we'll let the Bible speak.
We are glad that you are back and enjoying the time that we're here today studying the Bible with you. And we really hope that you feel that way too, that we are studying the Bible with you. This is your time, and we do this for you. And so we hope that you take advantage of that. As you've just heard about the Bible Correspondence Course, that's really one of the things that we're very excited about. Having put the Bible information in your hands so that you can read, so that you can study, so that you can know the things that we're doing. It's great if you send in Bible questions, call them in or text them. It's great that you listen to the program. It's great that you're opening your Bible and listening along with. All those are wonderful, wonderful things that will benefit you. The better benefit, the even greater benefit, would be that you have a structured, organized study of the Scriptures that will lead you to greater understanding of God's Word in a more systematic way. And that's very important when it comes to Bible study. Oh, studying anything. You don't start the last book of the Bible, a last book chapter of any book, do you, when you start reading it? No, start at the beginning. And you read through it as you gain information, gain knowledge. Well, the Bible's the same way. Paul tells Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth. And so one of the ways to do that is to have a systematic study, and this Bible Correspondence Course will do just that for you.
You know, one of the things about the courses, the first one we send you lesson one in the mail. It will take you probably less than 5 minutes to read through and study that lesson. That is the most simple one. Well, then when you return that to us, we grade it and send the next lessons. When you send that back to us, we grade it and send you lesson 2 and 3. Then those are a little bit more challenging. You will study those. You'll probably have to give more thought into it and your answers. And by all means, look up all the verses of Scripture. You fill those out. You fill that lessons out. And you send those back to us. And then we will grade those and send you back the third mailing, which will have lesson 4, 5, and 6 in it. And that will be the end of the first course. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have over 20 more courses of study waiting on you after that. So we're serious about learning what God says. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, it says, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his heavenly angels, taking vengeance on those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa, do you want God's wrath? Do I want God's wrath? Well, no, obviously not. I need to ask the question, do I obey the gospel? Well, don't we have to know what the gospel says before we can obey it? I mean, what court of law would allow you to go away scot-free from ignorance of the law? Well, officer, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be driving 100 miles an hour. Yeah, that won't score any points, and neither it will with God. We need to know what the law says so we can obey it, but then also we need to know God. Listen, dear souls, do we know God? I will admit this on the radio. I don't even know all of his names. That's the first thing we get to know about someone is their name. Do we know intimately all the names and titles of God? Guilty? I don't. I'm still learning after 41 years. So we've got a lot of studying to do. So why not begin your journey right now? Go ahead and enroll in the course, 553-5157. You will learn much from the very first lesson, 553-5157. So please don't hesitate. We've got several questions here, so we'll do our best to answer them. The first couple, be very exact. Get your pencil out and write down the answers.
We have two from the same person, Marilyn, and both of them have to do with pornography, viewing pornography. The first question is it wrong? Is it sin to watch pornography? And then is it considered committing adultery to view pornography? Well, we want to make the distinction between the act of adultery and the lusting in a person's heart. One of the passages we talked about earlier on this point was Matthew chapter 5, where it says, Jesus says, anyone who looks upon a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already in his heart. So when Jesus talks about Matthew 19, it's considering the act of adultery. That is the reason why you can put your wife away if she has committed adultery, or if your husband commits adultery. It goes either way. Any person who is in a marriage and they break that covenant commitment with sex with another person, then that person can be put away. So viewing pornography, well, is a sin, one, because it is viewing things that are a sinful nature, whether it be sexual acts or whether it be a person without clothes on, whatever it might be. And all of those things would be summed up in a passage that talks about anything that's unclean. Go to Ephesians 5 and verse 4, it says, there must be no filthiness and silly talking or jesting, which are not fitting, but giving of thanks. Then there's talking about, know this is certainly that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or God. Impurity, uncleanness, all of those things deal with pornography. the looking at things that I would not do, that I should not do. You know, Job made this interesting statement. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? That's the disposition. That's the attitude that a person ought to have relative to things that are not right to see, not to look at, not to put ourselves in Satan's way, line the trap he has set for us. Psalms 119, verse 37 says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." So those things obviously tell us that pornography is not a right thing. It is not the act of adultery, but as Matthew 15, Jesus says, the things that defile a person come out of the heart. Idolatry, adultery, fornication, those things that reside in your heart, and they'll come out if you don't take care of what's in your heart. So, Marilyn, we appreciate those questions. Very timely, very important things for us to think about.
And again, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564. We'll do our best to get to your question today, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Go ahead and answer two questions real quick. The question is, are marriages between two men or two women acceptable in the eyes of the Lord? Okay, you tell me what you think when I read this verse. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 19 and beginning with verse 5. And this is Jesus who says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." There we see a husband and a wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let no man separate. And so those two are to become husband and wife and to become one flesh. And so there's your answer. Obviously, no, it was not Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve from the beginning, and it continued to be a man and a woman. The second question is, in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 2, what did it mean? Every clean animal, was it animals that never had conceived? No, that's not what it's referring to. Caller, I would rather, that's from the last three digits, 113. And remember who wrote the book of Genesis and when it was written. This was written, or if you will, written down by Moses himself. And this was written down after he had already received the law of Moses in Exodus chapter 20, what we call the law of Moses. And so when he's writing this down, this is common knowledge of what clean and unclean animals were. Let's first of all read the verse. Genesis 7, talking about putting the animals in the ark, says, "You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and a female." So there would be 14 clean animals and two, a male and a female, of the unclean animals. And that's how the animals were put in the ark. So what were the clean and what were the unclean? The clean animals were those that were described in Leviticus chapter 11. In Leviticus chapter 11, we see what the clean animals were. And so those were the clean animals referred to. And he goes into great detail in Leviticus chapter 11 to describe them and in great detail. And so we just got a little bit of time left. And so do you have time for that question?
I think we can work it in here real quick.
Okay.
One is, where does the Bible talk about the word money? We had this question one time. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and following, talks a lot about that. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So that's the first answer to that. The second one has to do with...
here's the question.
Rest. Okay, though, yeah. That's an old one. Okay, the word rest in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It is found in several places. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, which might be the easiest place to go to. Since you didn't ask for specific reference, this will be good as any. It talks about the rest that we have in Joshua and in Jesus ultimately. There was the rest from the land of Canaan. There was the from the wandering the wilderness. There was the rest that we would have in Jesus. When Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then there is the rest that is eternal rest in heaven. And Hebrews 4 talks about that as well. So that's real quickly the real quick synopsis of the word rest. Just do a word search and you can find it.
And the actual word Sabbath means rest. And so there's lots of ways to refer to that. And we sure do appreciate your question and your desire to know what some of those. That's a new question as well. This has been a unique day today.
It's been a unique day. There are
a lot of new questions. And so we sure appreciate everyone that has participated in your desire to know the truth. We appreciate all of you that have enrolled in the course, not because that we get anything out of it, but because it shows us that you are interested in knowing the truth so that it might also set you free. And so that is our desire, to be able to help you to enter into that eternal rest. And there's only one way to do that, to know the truth and let that truth set you free. If you have not enrolled in the course and you're interested in that, please go ahead and call right now, 553-5157, and we'll get that Bible Correspondence course into you right away, and we'll be glad to get that to you this week. So please don't hesitate, 553-5157, and that'll be into this week's mail. So please get that to you. Go ahead and call so that can get to you this week, 553-5157. We want to say thank you to all of you that have joined us today, and you are to be commended because you've revealed your heart that you are seeking after truth, and hopefully all the answers that pertain to life and godliness you will find as you continue your walk to let the Bible speak.